If you want to see the world, take a cab. In what has become almost a cliche, cabbies, especially New York cabbies, hail from so many different places and so many different backgrounds that they offer up a kind of living testament to immigration patterns. In today's installment of our series, American Stories, Immigrants Past and Present, the world's Jackie Mao hails down a few stories of her own.
In a rickety building in Queens, a narrow dark stairway leads up to Master Cabbies. It's a school that teaches a course on taxi driving you have to pass to be eligible for a hack license from the Taxi and Limousine Commission.
You need to know your landmarks, because that's what will tell you where to be and when to be there.
It's not about answering map reading, then something about this business, then how to get to certain places. Tomorrow we are going to have some kind of a test and before we take the formal examination on Friday.
Mohammed Ashed Parvez of Pakistan is hoping to pass that test for his hack license. Many of his classmates come from Pakistan, too. Others are from India, Bangladesh, Ivory Coast, and Israel. Fully 90% of New York cabbies are foreign-born. Parvez says cab driving offers them a way to make a living.
The basic thing is it doesn't need a lot of investment. You can just call the fleet and you are in business straight away.
What do they do at Shea Stadium?
As it turns out, taxi driving is the business that's provided an in to the American economy for generations of immigrants.
Let him go. Alex, let him go. Let him go. Come on.
Joe Pross arrived here from Russia with his wife and two children 25 years ago.
Just, you know, get sick and tired from harassment in Soviet Union. It's no way I could live in this country. To be free, you know, I need to leave Russia.
Pross was part of the early stage of what turned into a wave of Soviet Jews who immigrated to New York in the 70s. He couldn't find a job he wanted, so he turned to cab driving.
When I start to drive in a fleet in 1973, 74, most of it was American drivers, American people, very few immigrants. Russian starts to come very heavy after 77, 78, 79, you know.
Alex, 96 car, you ready? I don't know, the steady guy going to come the nightmare or not, but the car is ready.
From the first couple of months, it was very hard for me because the city, the language and everything was very hard. But little by little, I start to fall in love with this business. I start to work steady. Nobody bothered me. This is what it was like, freedom for me, you know.
Eventually, Pross saved $35,000 and invested in a taxi medallion. Then he bought a mini fleet. That's two medallions. Joe Pross was on his way. Like Pross, Simon Feldman brought his wife and two kids from Russia to America in the early 70s.
Nixon and Brezhnev made a verbal agreement which has allowed us to go. So by accident, we just became like pioneer coming to this country.
And like Joe Pross, Simon Feldman soon got a job driving a cab. Feldman worked 18, 19, 20 hours a day, sleeping at the airport in his cab to catch the first fare in the morning. His daughter, Dina Feldman Oberfest, says she didn't do much with her father during those years.
Well, our activities were Sunday mornings, he'd grab a bucket and a sponge, and I and he would go to the parking lot and wash the car, wax the car.
Like his fellow Russian cab driver Joe Pross, Simon Feldman eventually bought a medallion. But this is where their stories diverge. While Joe Pross went on to build a taxi empire, he now runs a thriving cab company. Simon Feldman did what most immigrant cabbies do. He eventually got out of the business altogether. Feldman bought a little supermarket in Brighton Beach in 1983. Today, he owns a delicatessen on Coney Island Avenue. Simon Feldman's experience is another immigrant success story in which success is not measured solely in dollars and cents.
The success of American dream is being a part of the big society and be recognized by the person who not just live for the money, who help each other.
By the late 80s, Russians were no longer the dominant immigrant group driving New York taxis. Haitians were.
I don't even know America, but I was always dreaming to be here.
John Cherry brought his wife over from Haiti in 1981.
When I left my country, I was looking for better life. At that time, I was a father, and I was have two kids, and I was always looking for better life for my kids.
A few years later, Cherry borrowed enough money to buy his own cab. But unlike Russian Simon Feldman, who bought his first medallion for $20,000 in 1973, and Joe Pross, who bought his for $35,000 2 years later, John Cherry had to spend $84,000 for his in 1984.
See, those kind of sons, I like those sons because they're all sons. I like those sons.
Cherry drives his taxi 6 days a week, 12 hours a day to pay off his medallion. He's been a cabbie for 15 years.
Because I can say for the beginning, I was hate my job. You know, when people got inside the car, they nasty. You know, no respect at all.
So what happened and what made you change your mind?
I say, this is my job. If I'm not happy with it, I cannot make it.
Cherie starts Sunday, his only day off, at a Haitian church in Brooklyn. Here, he thanks God for letting him come to America.
America is mine now. I don't represent myself like an immigrant. I represent myself like a good citizen, work hard, pay my taxes, do the right thing, and love my country.
Just as the Russian cab drivers of the late 70s reflected liberalized U.S. policies for Soviet emigres, and the Haitian cabbies of the 80s were a barometer of increased oppression in their homeland, so does the current prevalence of South Asian cabbies in New York reflect broader trends. Arriving from India, Bangladesh, and Pakistan, these immigrants are walking through doors opened by an earlier wave of South Asians in the 60s and opened wider by a 1991 U.S. ruling to allow more immigrants from the region.
I'll make right turn or straight, sir?
Okay. Yeah, right turn looks good.
Naif arrived in New York 5 years ago from Bangladesh. The first thing Naif got was a new name. In Bangladesh, he was Monir Uzaman.
When I came to America, I applied for a visa. They make my old name together. So I went to motor vehicle for make driving license. They was confused. I don't have any first name and last name. So they put the NFN. That means no first name. I make it my name, Naif.
What happened next, though surprising to Naif, is typical of the experience of well-educated immigrants.
Nobody want to hire, just I can get the job in the store and restaurant. It's a lot of headache. Some boss, manager, everybody try to give us the hard time.
Take all of your belongings with you as you leave the cab. And please remember to ask the driver for a receipt for this ride. I'll see you at the opera.
So what do I owe you? $10.60?
So Naif started driving a taxi.
Thank you very
but
much.
Medallions now cost over $230,000. An impossible sum for almost all new immigrants, and the job hasn't gotten any easier.
We work 8, 9, 10 hours on the street, always moving.
It's Sunday afternoon. Naif isn't driving a taxi today. Instead, he's preparing lunch for his wife, Selma. Just a week ago, she gave birth to their first child. So Naif is now the head of a household, the breadwinner for a family of three. As we browse through some photos, Naif traces the unlikely route that brought him here.
It's me. The first time when I came to America.
You look like you're in shock.
Yeah, too much. Then Holland to Spain. I visit a lot of countries, so I saw the situation for the foreign people. I think this America is the best for the there is freedom, can find a job.
It's going to be a good test.
Like the immigrants who came before, the Russians, Joe Pross and Simon Feldman, and Haitian, John Cherry, Naif from Bangladesh seems to have it all figured out. You drive your taxi, you work hard, you don't get into trouble with the passengers or the law. You make some money, and then you go on to create your own American dream. For the world, this is Jackie Mao.
Please finish. Very quick, right?